Yeah, single engine prop plane. I did have one time where my tire basically came off on landing.
Being that person who you want to become.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm obsessed with, is like, that's the secret.
Do what you like to do. Don't waste your time on things you don't like to do. Like, you were meant to do something else, but you're just not willing to take the risk on trying that thing that you actually liked.
All right, welcome back to the channel, guys. This one is incredible for you today. I got my boy in the studio, Joey Muccio. He's a pilot. He is a incredible athlete, high level athlete. He's a content creator. This man does it all, not just well, but like excellent, like high achieving, high level human, athlete, and friend. We broke down, you know, the mindsets behind what it looks like to achieve greatness, how to balance your life, and also like having a plan and the importance of stepping into your potential and how that plan will help you work backwards and be effective with your life, your fitness, your business, and all that. So it's phenomenal. Buckle up for a great conversation. And with that said, let's get to it. I love surrounding myself with guys like you, because you just show me how out of shape I am. I think I'm in shape, but then I hang around guys like you and I'm like, dude, we went for an easy run and my heart rate's at 180.
There's different types of in shape for sure. Uh-huh. It's like a lifting in shape, a swimming in shape, a running in shape, totally different types of cardio.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a solid day.
What's your favorite type of training these days? Because you're doing a lot of stuff. Like, what's your favorite?
I'd say biking right now, just because it's so new. Like, I just started biking 3 months ago or something. Mm. So like the fun thing about training, you know, is like that progress, right? Like you start seeing
addicting
that progress, and it's so fun to see that. And when you're super new and early, you see a lot of those beginner gains and you're like, oh, this is epic. And then you kind of start plateauing and it's like, oh, not as fun. Mm. So like running still is one of my favorites, but it's like incremental gains, where like right now biking is, you know, improving very fast. So yeah, it's probably the most fun.
Rapidly. Dude, all I know from a biking standpoint is how important it is to have a saddle that does not intrude, you know, and to get that fitted, because if it's like out of position, that can like seriously impact your, like how long you can be in the saddle. Like, that's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. That, I mean, along with just being like fitted on the bike in general to be the most efficient aerodynamically. Mm-hmm. And also with just your, like the power of where you're sitting, like where the seat is at, where your aero bars are at. Are you too extended? Are you too crunched? Mm. Is your seat too low? Is it too high? Are you burning out your glutes or your hammies or too much quad? It's like, you got to find this like perfect balance. And with Ironman, the bike is the most important thing, where you can make up or lose the most amount of time. Mm. So it's like the bike is huge for me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say the bike is like out of those three? So you're training for Ironman like a ton, and that's your main focus, I'd say. You did some tries, but
yeah.
So that's biking, running, swimming. What is your biggest strength of those? And then like, where do you think is the highest potential for you to step into if it's different?
Running's still my strength for sure, just because I've been doing it for, you know, 2 to 3 years now. Yeah. Then biking second, because like being a good runner helps you on the bike, but I still have a lot of room to grow on the bike. Mm. And then swimming is my weakest.
Your weakest?
For sure. Yeah.
That's crazy, because you have, I don't know, like I mentioned in the gym, like, you know, you wrestled in high school and college, right?
Yeah. Well, high school, not college yet.
Okay. But like you had that, you have that background, but even then, like you have this wider kind of like tapered fit. You kind of have that swimmer. Like I would think you freaking crush swimming.
Yeah.
But why is it just?
I'm not bad at swimming, but I'm definitely better at the other two. And like, I just never swam. And swimming is so technique based. Mm-hmm. Like with running, I mean, it is technique, but you can't really work on your running technique that much, and it doesn't make that much of a difference. It's kind of like just run longer, run harder.
Sure.
Same with the bike. It's like push harder on the bike or just do it longer and you'll eventually get better at it. Swimming, if you suck and you don't work on technique, you're going to suck forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you have to work on technique. So that just builds a lot of time, or takes a lot of time to get mm-hmm. that good technique and like actual swim lessons. And it's like, dude, it's so slow. Like, my thing with swimming is just like, bro, back and forth in the pool for like an hour every day. It's like on the bike, you see new things. You're moving right. fast. You're going 20. It's exciting. Yeah. Mm. Running's a little more exciting. Swimming's just like, it's so boring. So my motivation isn't quite there.
Yeah.
And with the Ironman, the least important thing, they're all important, but the swim, like time-wise, let's say if you're really fast, the swim takes you 1 hour.
Mm.
The bike takes you, like these are like world record times or around there, like top in the world. 1 hour swim, 4 hour bike, 3 hour run. So it's like, how much time can you actually make up in that swim compared to the bike and the run? Mm-hmm. The bike's the most important. Run is the second most important. Swim's the least important out of the three.
So with that, you probably, I think a lot of athletes would give it less of a priority in training because of that? Okay.
Yeah. And like the best triathletes in the world, they're not typically the best swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best bikers and runners. And then they're decent enough on the swim.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'd imagine a lot of swimmers wouldn't like just be like, I'm gonna go do an Ironman. It'd be like more the runners and the bikers. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about, so you're in the pool training, where and it's super mundane, super freaking, you know, just over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Where does your mind go, you know, when you're at your best? Like, what are you thinking about or what are you focused on when you feel like you actually hit that flow state?
In the pool?
Yeah.
Man, I never really enjoyed the swims.
To be honest. That's like pure just discipline.
Yeah, it's purely like, dude, I always think of that, the Mike Tyson quote, where he's like, you got to do something, like I forget exactly how it goes, but it's like, you got to do something you hate like you love it to get like really good. And like, I truly don't like swimming.
Repeat that
but
quote.
Like, I forget exactly how it goes, but like, if you want to be great, you have to do something you hate like you love it.
Mm.
So people are like, oh, like Joey must love swimming. Like, dude, he's swimming every day. Mm. It's like, well, that's the only way you're going to get good is like doing the shit you hate like you love it. Like cardio, like maybe in Mike Tyson's, you know, scenario, it's like he loved boxing, but he didn't necessarily like cardio.
Yeah.
But it's like the only way you're going to get great is by doing all that extra little stuff that you don't necessarily like. So I'm just like, I think of that and I'm like, all right, I just got to do it like I love it.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's fire. Side note, sidebar, the Hamptons boxing. You mentioned Tyson. You got that.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that fit. I'm like, bro, that's fire, dude. A little boxing.
Dude, Abercrombie's coming back, bro.
Yeah, the crop tops, man.
Crop tops.
Catch us all summer in the crop tops, baby.
Dude, if you would have saw a kid in high school rocking Abercrombie, you'd be like, freaking nerd, bro. You know, like, like you maybe make fun of that kid.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, dude, Abercrombie's coming back with some sick style crop tops. I'm like, I'm here for it.
Here for it, baby.
This is not an ad, by the way, but Abercrombie, hit me up. Let's go.
Abercrombie and Fitch, we'll get that on lock.
Sponsor the pod.
There we go, baby. The pod's paid for. That's all I wanted, dude. I just want. But no, dude, I freaking love that because you talk about Mike Tyson and that principle of taking a different mindset to the same task and how powerful that is.
Yeah.
Because that's really like, that's the goal in life. I mean, I thought about this yesterday after someone said something, and I try to approach even work from a playful state. I try to play when I work. Does that make sense? Like when I do voiceovers or when I'm making content, like how can I find a way to enjoy this? Because at the end of the day, if you take a playful approach to life, you're going to be at your best because you're having fun. And obviously not everything's going to be, you know, a walk in the park, or it's not going to be easy per se, but I think that's amazing. As humans, we have the ability to change the way we approach even hard things to proactively or embrace it. That changes how you approach it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It'll make it like less mentally draining. Like that mental part of it is very important as well. If you're constantly like thinking to yourself, oh, I have to do this or I have to do this and it sucks.
Yes.
It's like, bro, that's just going to wear you down. If you make it fun, like, oh, I get to do this voiceover, I'm going to make it fun, that mental drain is a little bit less.
Yes. A grateful approach to life obviously is cliche. Like that's, everyone says like the secret of life, be grateful and start with gratitude. I mean, but
true,
you know? Yeah. It's like what a gift this life is.
The cliche, people hate on cliches. I'm like, bro, cliches are cliche for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're true.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like a walking cliche sometimes. I just, I'll be spitting stuff and I just like, I don't even know where I read that, but I'm just saying it, but it's true. Like all this stuff, like it.
I feel like all I say is consistency is key. That's it. People ask me because I'm like, dude, consistency. I'm like, that's it.
I asked Joey, I'm like, what's the mentality that you know gives you success? Consistency. What's the number one habit? Consistency.
That's it.
What's the secret?
Yeah, that's it. It's key to life.
Okay, so how do you? What makes you so consistent? Then you just decide.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just good at following a plan. I always like to have a written plan and know like what I'm doing in that day, or know what I'm working towards for the year.
Sure.
Like we talked about earlier, like the last 3 years or so is really where I got the most consistent, because I always had a goal to work towards. First, it was a half marathon, then it became a marathon, then it was an ultra marathon, and then now it's the Ironman. It's like, I think I've talked about it a bunch, but I just think having a goal to work towards and a plan in place to get you to that goal is going to make it consistent. If you just go into the gym every day, or you just go out and you're like, oh, I'm going to go on a run today.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're going to do it. Maybe you're not. But if you know, okay, I'm running this race for the next 12 weeks, I'm running 5 days a week with one or two speed workouts every day, one long run. It's like, now you just got to do it.
Yeah,
it's just
execute.
You know, you just got to execute. Mm-hmm. So I think just putting a plan in place, that's what's made me consistent, is just always having a plan to follow. Whether I have a coach or not, I will always find a plan and then just follow that plan. And then that gives you the confidence going into race day that it'll probably go well.
Love that. Have you always been that way?
No.
What was young Joey like?
Man, dude, I mean, I think I always had that like drive to want to be good.
Yeah, great.
Like I was always
not good. You're freaking. You're not settling for good. You're freaking.
Yeah. I always had that like competitive spirit where like I want to be one of the best on my team or whatever. Throughout sports, more so, kind of found my way in wrestling, and I wanted to be the best in wrestling in high school, and I really like tried to be the best I could in those years. But it took me a while to find myself, and in these last 3 years, I've really just like found what I enjoy doing and what I want to work towards. And like, I know what makes me tick.
Yeah.
And like, now I just kind of do those things. Like early on in life, I feel like you're just trying to find yourself. You're like, what do I want to do? What do I want to do for work? How am I going to find success? How am I going to find success in work, in relationships? And you're just like, your mind is all over the place until you really find out, okay, this is what I want. Here's my clear path. And I'm just going to do exactly that.
So what advice would you give your 21-year-old self in light of that?
I'd say try new things earlier, you know, so then you can find out what it is that you do want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me in college, like my entire college life, I was lost. Like people come up to you always in college. Oh, what degree are you getting? What's like your dream job out of college?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like my entire college time, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm getting a business degree because I don't know exactly what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping I take this one class and a freaking light switches.
And you were done with sports at that point.
Done with sports.
Yeah, so you were, yeah.
Yeah, just like constantly just like going to school and hoping one day something clicks. And then I graduated college. I saw all my opportunities in the jobs that a lot of my friends or, you know, classmates were getting. And I just knew this is not what I want to do. And I always thought about becoming an airline pilot. Wow. And then once I went and tried it, once I went and did a discovery flight and flew for the first time, I was like, this is it. I'm going to try this for a bit longer, see how I like it. And then once I started doing it, I was locked in.
Hmm.
But it's like, man, if I would have tried it.
Yeah.
In high school or earlier, or just tried more things in general, you have a much better chance of finding out what you want to do with the rest of your life.
Love it.
And then you just lock in on those things, and then the rest.
Go deeper, be excellent. Yeah. Freaking love it, dude. So do more things, put yourself out there, experiment.
Yeah.
I love that, because the advice too is that, but on this, the same side of that coin is like to not think you're going to have it figured out. Like, I think a lot of kids these days, because I did too, if I think back to when I was 21 and 25 and shoot, I mean, 27, like I'm 32 now. And it seems like this is a recent revelation for you. Like, I feel like you said, I finally feel like I know who I am, know what makes me tick. And you're 30.
Yeah.
You're 30. So that was 27 years old when you kind of started figuring that out. There's just so much pressure, I feel like, for people in their 30s, but very much in their 20s now, when everyone's like, I mean, just showcasing highlights and success. And, you know, that can be super discouraging. So the other flip side is that, like, do everything you can, but understand you're not going to have it figured out. And that's fine. Like, just embrace the journey of life.
Yeah. And the changes too, because who knows, in 5 years, things could change, careers can change. And it's just, as long as you enjoy it, then, you know, keep trying, and then maybe you can turn it into something that makes you successful. Like, you can always fail or get fired from the job that you don't like.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, people are doing these, whatever it is, I don't want to hang on anybody's job, but let's say it's like a finance job, accounting job, whatever, HR job. You can still get fired from that. So it's like, why not just try to do things that really make you tick? Like, for us, we are so blessed to have turned fitness into a job. Like, people at the beginning of time, when I started posting fitness content, getting freaking no views, you know, whatever, people like, dude, what are you doing?
It's cringe.
Yeah, it's cringe, right? And then it's like, now it's my fucking job.
Yeah. Like, yeah, dude, bro,
that's crazy. You know, it's like, whatever, you turn your hobbies possibly into a career.
And there's no better there's no better opportunity than to do that in this, like, today's world.
Yes.
Like, I think about Hub's life on Instagram. You know who I'm talking about? The guy,
I don't know,
works a corporate job. He just made content, literally, like, the most average, boring content. That was his, like, shtick.
Yeah.
If that's the right way to say that, shtick.
Shtick.
Never really said that. Yeah, that was his thing. That was his niche.
Yeah.
And so he, like, would just be like, hey, here's my 9-to-5. Here's my routine before my 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And he got so consistent and so good, and he got traction and he got exposure. This man now got a pay raise, and, like, he got a chance to step away from his 9-to-5, but then he came back to the job, but in a different way, because he's able to make the content for the brand and company. Like, my point is, even if your job sucks, because, you know, I know there's people out there, I've had, I can't really say I've had that, you know, experience where I'm like, this is the worst, but someone out there is
a
like that.
A lot of people hate their jobs.
Exactly.
Yeah, just, yeah,
but you can make it work for you if you literally, like, if you want to be a content creator, then make content about the job you don't want to be at.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, just show your journey.
Dude, people are like, bro, I got to pick a niche. I got to do this and that. I think I heard somebody say, I think it was Mike from Higher Up Wellness.
Yes.
I love his content.
Love him.
Buddy of mine, but more so just like, I love his content.
Yeah.
He's like, freaking just be you.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's your niche, bro. Like, don't try to be anybody else. Like, your content is fitness-based. So is mine. Mm-hmm. But they're completely different.
Yeah.
The reason why both of our content
I work out better. I'm more efficient. I'm better at cardio.
Exactly. But the reason both of our content works is because you're you.
Yeah.
And I'm me.
Yes.
And that's the niche. Is that, like, people want to watch it because it's you, not because you're copying somebody else's content or whatever. And it can be anything, dude. There's people who freaking make content about candles.
Yeah.
And who knows, there's somebody out there that crushes candle content.
Yeah. You can go on TikTok shop and freaking make $1 million.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunity out there, basically. But the biggest thing is just being yourself, especially if it comes down to content.
I freaking love that, dude. You can just put that as the number one most important thing when it comes to content. And I think alignment's up there, because it's the same thing. Alignment with who you truly are, because that is the niche. And to be honest with you, I think that's what's going to separate people from others in the future. AI, ChatGPT, automation is crazy.
Taking
so,
over.
Yeah, and information, you know, words, writing, all that stuff is going to be everyone's doing it. So what's going to set you apart? You got to be fully authentically you and, like, step into who you are and own it, because that's what's going to set you apart.
I think the only jobs that will be jobs in the future, maybe we're closer to it than,
hot take,
than we both think, is entertainment.
Mm.
Like, other than that, my pilot job's gone, bro.
Really? You think AI?
For sure. I mean, these planes are already landing themselves.
Wow.
They can more so easily take off and taxi themselves.
Wow.
And they're flying up, autopilot on, 100 feet, take off, autopilot on, gear up, yada. These planes are doing, they can do everything. Eventually, I hope they still pay us I hope you guys still pay us to just sit there.
Job security here.
Yeah, for real, bro. I think, you know, that would be awesome. But all jobs other than like, what was that movie? Like Ready Player One? I haven't watched it in a long time. But I think the only jobs that were in that are like entertainment jobs and then maybe some sort of, you know, obviously machine maintenance jobs.
Yeah.
But everybody's job is going to be taken. Financial advisors, done. It's whatever. Any job.
Yeah.
AI is going to take over.
Yeah. I mean, two things that I think about from what you just said, because I agree with you. Like, there's definitely going to be that decrease of need for, you know, certain jobs. I take it as number one, what we just discussed, like you being you and being human will be even more important and valuable.
Yeah.
So you being more human, more imperfect, vulnerable, authentic, those will be what's gold. And number two is connections, relationships.
Yeah.
You know, part of what I love doing this, like we're sitting down having a conversation, we're connecting. We're not just texting each other and messaging, although that's great, but like it's the relationships we have.
Yeah.
That's going to take us places and like open up different opportunities in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, people are going to crave that more and more because it's becoming more digital.
Mm-hmm.
All relationships, all communication is just becoming more digital, so I think, you know, people are going to crave more in-person things like this.
Love it. Before I ask you about your craziest pilot, you know, craziest flight story, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you a question because we're talking about content, right, and creating. Is there anything that you feel like is people misunderstand you about you? Like, do people misunderstand something about you often? Or the question could be like, you know, what's something that people would be surprised to know about you?
Ooh.
So you take that whichever way.
Man, I'd say probably people would be surprised maybe to know like how lost I was throughout my college years. Like they probably think like once you seem successful or whatever on social media and they're like, oh dude, he's got the job. Yeah. He's got some followers on Instagram. Seems like everything's like all gravy. He probably always knew what he wanted to do and just like had this easy path. And you know, that's just not true. Like I was very lost. Like we already talked about in college, so like before I knew what I wanted to do. And then what was the first part of that question?
It was going to be, what do you feel misunderstood? Do you ever feel misunderstood?
Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, misunderstood. I'd say a lot of people, like, they're like, in my comments, they're like, I'm like, what do you guys want to see more of? Like, oh, like the struggles of the workouts. And like, I think people just think I work out. And the workouts are like, I'm like just coasting through
these. Yeah, workouts. Yeah.
It's like, dude, every workout, other than like easy workouts, but like every workout, I'm like on the verge of death, you know, on these hard workouts. Like every workout in the pool, I'm like, I already talked about, I kind of hate swimming. So I'm like, I want to get out of the pool or on the bike. Quads are on fire, legs, heart rate's killing me.
Yeah.
Runs, I'm like struggling. And every week, every workout's hard. There's like no easy way about it. So yeah, I think that's maybe misunderstood. I need to like share more of how I struggle through the workouts rather than just like, oh yeah, 20-mile run. I was, you know, like, no, it wasn't easy.
That's part of my joke too, where it's like, you know, 10 miles, easy pace, or, you know, just, because I remember seeing so much content where it's like mile 6, mile 12, mile 30, like, and we're just chilling. I'm like, are you just chilling?
Yeah.
Or are you like dying? Cause I'd be dying.
Yeah.
And
like, you're definitely, it's not easy. Like, but you're just, when you're on, it's like, oh,
correct.
For those 2 seconds.
Right.
Mile 30. It's
phone down and you're like out of breath and dying.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that's, I love that answer. I think I want to tap into the, I want to ask you a question, the follow-up question about, you know, your season of just being lost. But, you know, I think social media is a great place to showcase, you know, a finished product just as much as it is for the mess. And I would love to have a better balance of that too. Cause I do think like there's a place for, here's my 30-minute workout and it's freaking sharp and you crush it and you're having fun and you're not like showcasing the worst parts about the workout.
Exactly.
You know, cause some people are like overly doing that or like they, you know, it just sometimes that can be a pitfall to go into too, or just focusing on the struggle and how hard it is. And it's like,
yeah,
you're alive, bro. You actively chose this.
You want to share positive,
yeah,
you know, moments.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So I don't think that's all bad. You know, when people say it's a highlight reel, it's like, well, yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a bad thing when I see Joey's feed and I'm like, dang, dude, I'm less worthy than him. Like he's better. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm comparing my life to yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best approach is like, dude, Joey's freaking crushing it, man. I love him. I love seeing him step into his potential. I should step into mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Find motivation from, cause I could do the same thing with, everybody could do the same thing unless you're the best in the world at something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you could be like, can't look at anybody and be like, oh, I wish I was.
Yeah. Michael Jordan's like, dang, dude, I wish I was.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It was like, I could look at somebody's, you know, swimming, biking, running paces right now, like in the Ironman world, and be like, wow, I'm a dirt ball. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm slow at everything. For I'm sure. Terrible. But you just compete with yourself every day and you're like, oh, I'm getting faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take those wins.
Yep. You don't beat yourself up. You freaking reframe that and say, how am I going to get better?
Yeah.
Because now I'm inspired, which you did that for me today. So shout out to that.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to that lost season, just to tap back into that element, I love that because I think that's inevitable. Like we, as humans, that's part of the journey. And that's sometimes not a one and done thing. Sometimes it's cyclical where you have your identity wrapped in something. For me, it's baseball, you know, it was baseball and now it's different. But for me, it was baseball. And when I gave up my identity as being a ball player, like that was a shock.
Yeah.
And a quarter life crisis, 21 years old, 22, like who am I?
A lot of your value is wrapped up in that people see you as
crazy.
The baseball player.
100%.
And then it's like, oh,
yeah.
What do I have?
Yeah, and imagine that.
This void.
Imagine that, 23 years old, thinking my best days were behind me.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
But in that season, I literally believe that. I'm like, dang, that was the top of my life. It's going to be downhill. I'm going to settle. I'm going to get this job. I'm always going to look back on this. These are the days. And now it couldn't be further from the truth.
You'd be one of those guys, I almost made it to the MLB.
Bro, I will never be.
I tore my rotator.
If it weren't for that, dang.
Dude.
Yeah, pray to God I'd never be that guy. But yeah, the glory days, what's his name from Napoleon Dynamite, like the Uncle Rico. Throw that pigskin a quarter mile back in my day.
Yeah, yeah.
But so the season, I'm just curious, like, was there a turning point for you, a defining moment? Like, how did you find yourself? How did you start finding yourself? Like, what did that look like?
I really do think it comes down to just finding out what your goal is and what you want to do with the rest of your life. Like that, I think, gives us a lot of confidence. Like finding out what your purpose is. And not that your job is your purpose, but I think knowing what you want to do with your life and what you want your career and your purpose to be gives you a lot of confidence. Because when somebody comes up to you and they ask you, hey, what do you do for work, or what are you working towards? What's your goal this year?
Yeah.
It's like you have something. I like going through college, I just, every time somebody asked me that, it ate at me because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what my future looked like. But honestly, once I had things that I was proud of, like for me, the pilot job honestly gave me a lot of confidence.
Mm.
And like, I don't want people to take this as like, your job defines you. Like, I definitely don't want it to come off that way. But when you have something that you're proud of, that gives you a lot of confidence. Like when somebody asks me what I do for work and I get to say I'm an airline pilot and I do fitness content.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm proud of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud that that's part of who I am. And I think that makes me more confident than if I didn't have that.
Yeah.
So before then, I think that's why I was lost, because I just didn't know what I wanted. And I thrive off of knowing what I want and what I'm working towards.
And how
if
to
I don't
there.
Have that, I'm lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Dang, dude. Well, the question becomes like, what would happen if you couldn't fly anymore? Like, what if tomorrow you couldn't fly? Like, how would you find your purpose?
I think I'd have an identity crisis. Like, honestly, I think I would always find the next thing. Like, I always do like to find things to work towards. Like you said, with baseball, it was like baseball, like for me in high school, for me in high school, wrestling was like my life.
Yeah.
That was it. I just wanted to be the best. And then after wrestling ended, and then in college for those 4 or 5 years, I was really trying to find out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And that's where I was lost. But then I eventually found the next thing. So I'm hoping I would find, and obviously if I couldn't fly, I would dive more into this fitness content and more into coaching. And I would find obviously new avenues to to throw that energy into. But yeah, I would feel like a little piece of me got taken for sure.
Yeah, man. There's a lot to be said for living in your purpose, and you feel like you're making a difference, and you feel like you're working towards something. So yeah, that's amazing. So, and we already talked about the advice you give. It's just go do and see what sticks and see what excites you, and forget who said it, but you know, follow the passion, follow what makes you feel alive, you know, what fires you up. Cause that's it.
Yeah.
Typically if you make the decision based on what excites you the most, you'll find out what you love eventually.
Yeah. And I think being a dad, like for you too, like that becomes a huge thing that drives you and motivates you.
Yeah, sure.
You know, outside of career, just like family mm-hmm. and being there for the kids and the family and providing. And like, so now you have like another piece of your identity. Now you're a dad and a husband rather than just the athlete or the guy with this job or the baseball player.
Yeah.
It's like,
to me, purpose is so it's almost like, I think everything starts internally. Everything starts with you and the man in the mirror, the person you're looking at in the mirror. But it inevitably has to go and express outward.
Yeah.
And I think kids are such a tangible, it's such a powerful way to get you to step beyond and outside of just yourself that it's incredible. It forces you, we talked about it on a run, it forces you to grow and to take risks and to be better with your time and to take care of yourself. And to be excellent because you got people who are looking to you.
Yeah.
Who need you, dependent on you, looking to you for inspiration, for leadership, for love. And I always tell people without kids, I'm like, if you can get there without kids, that's even more impressive. Because kids will force that. And obviously you can either answer that call or not. And unfortunately there's people who don't answer the call to like step into that role really well.
Do you feel more motivated now that you're a father? Like just with everything else in life?
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling that specifically with time, like just time management. Like I wasted so much time when I was in my 20s. So much time. Don't even realize it.
You've probably felt so busy before you had kids.
That's it.
But then now you have kids, you're like, bro, if I didn't have kids, what would I be doing with my time?
We talk about that all the time, dude. It's like, we thought we were busy. But that's just human nature. You fill up your day, you fill up your plate, and you adapt. And like we talked about, the human spirit has this ability to just adapt and expand and continue to find ways to make things happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, being a dad is like literally the best. It's my favorite thing in the world, bro.
Yeah.
And it makes me a better husband. It makes me a better friend. I believe in God even more so now than I ever did. Yeah. Seeing a miracle in front of me that came from, we created that.
Yeah.
And now like that thing wasn't in the world, but now it is. And it's a pure conscious, like individual human being.
You gotta like
see
yourself in the kid, like see your wife in the kid. And you're like, holy crap. Like we together made this thing.
Dude, it's like, 1 + 1 = 3. Yeah. It's mind blowing, dude. Mind blowing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I just, unconditional love is the most powerful thing. And that's what I try to apply to like business and fitness is like, if it's not motivated by love, then I think you eventually will run out of fuel.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to say motivation because that is fleeting, but it's like the desire to grow and to become and to achieve. I think love is the most powerful thing. Like if you're trying to compare yourself or beat someone, so pure competition, like I will win. I will win at all costs and beat these people. That way I'm the winner. I think that is very powerful and it takes you places, but only so far. Cause I mean, how long are you going to do that? You're the best. And then you don't have anyone to share life with if that ends it that way.
I agree. Yeah. I think just like having a supportive partner, like, that helps a lot. Like if you're just, I don't know, like it almost, I mean, just having somebody to support you in general, but also just having those extra eyes on you to be like, wait, is he slacking off or is he doing what he's doing?
Does Gracie do that for you? Does she?
Super supportive.
She keeps you and she challenges you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we both like challenge each other and like, I want to be better for her and like, she works hard. So I want to work hard.
Yeah. And yeah. It seems like she's on it, dude. She's got like all these different, she's just like driven and you know, she's a beautiful girl, like driven, like seems like an incredible human. Like she's way out of your league for,
yeah,
you
know,
just for the record.
Yeah. I mean, dude, having, I mean, you know, with your wife, like, dude, I mean, before you guys even had kids,
mm-hmm.
like, I think just having those extra set of eyes is just like a little extra motivating, and just having that support is crucial.
Does she like help you stay grounded, or like, you know, I always think about my wife, Gigi, is amazing at kind of being like my subconscious or unconscious mind, where she'll say something, I'm like, yeah, that makes so much sense. Like, I'm not sure why I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
But she tells me the truth, and I'm like, yeah, dude, thank God I have you, because I would be just lesser of a human without her, unfortunately.
No, yeah, you're usually better off with like another opinion too in certain scenarios. Like, you could be so stuck, like, they're screwing me over, yeah, yeah. She's like, but it's like, oh shit,
yeah
true,
yeah. Yeah,
it's like, no. Not always playing devil's advocate, obviously always sticking up for each other, but sometimes you need to be put in your place.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, you know, maybe you're not right in this scenario. It's like, okay, yeah. Like, you just help each other stay grounded, and then also always support each other.
Yeah.
And yeah, super super helpful.
It's amazing. So the flight story, switching gears, because I wanted to tap into this, because I'm like, I can't let you go without like hearing some of the flights.
Yeah.
Do you have any crazy flight story, or either on board, going to the plane, after the plane, like any crazy stories?
Yeah. I mean, when you're like, the scariest part of your flying career is usually when you're a flight instructor. So like, after, typically that's your first like professional pilot gig, is when you're teaching people how to fly.
Hmm.
So you go through training, you get all your ratings, private, instrument, commercial, multi, then you become a CFI, and then you teach people and you get them those license. And I got all of my ratings. I got my CFI, my double I, so I can teach instrument, and my MEI, so I can teach in the multi-engine. And, you know, dude, you're teaching random people how to land an airplane.
And how big is this airplane?
4-seater, little tiny Cessnas.
Yeah.
And then maybe 4 to 6 seaters on the multi-engines. But, you know, private pilots are the most dangerous because they're brand new.
Mm.
You teach them how to fly for the first time. You're sending them on solos for the first time.
Wow.
You know, so I had, and you're flying airplanes from 1970, you know, so beat up old Cessnas that are flying 6-7 times a day.
Wow.
So probably the scary, I never had an engine failure, thank God. You know, because that happens to people. But
it's,
I had,
and it's one engine?
One engine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, single engine prop plane. I did have one time where my tire basically came off on landing. And I was like, my student was kind of taxiing and having a hard time like holding a straight line. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? I'm fucking straighten it out. Like, so I'm hopping, I'm like, yeah, this tire is kind of gripping a little bit. And the mechanics, you know, they're doing their best, you know, but they're also like newer mechanics too. They're not at the airline level yet. They're just at flight schools. Mm-hmm. And the guy just put the castle nut on wrong, like the, which keeps the tire on the airplane.
Kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. So we came in and we landed and all I hear is like, and I'm like, my controls, I take over and I like barely keep us on the runway.
Oof.
And I hop out of the plane. We ended up having to like push the airplane off the runway. And it's just like, you know, we could have crashed, you know, like little things like that, or just like hard landings with your student. Like, you want them to make some mistakes, but not go too far. And sometimes you let it go a little too far.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have some sketchy landings. So no like near death experiences, thank God, but some sketchy moments that get the heart rate up.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And then in the airline world, at least you have two engines. You know, so if you lose one, you're usually good.
Right.
I've had to do like some go arounds and stuff, but been blessed.
Yeah, it's so good, far. Man.
Mm. Yeah.
So, what would you say your favorite part of flying is?
Flying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just being up there.
Being up there, landing. You know, just like having control of the airplane. It's like fun. I like going fast. I always loved like
a little Ricky Bobby energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I legit have always loved going fast. Like driving cars. You know, driving a boat, driving motorcycles, had dirt bikes back in the day. And then it was like getting my pilot's license was like, I mean, freaking, it's all taking off, landing, freaking flying around.
That adrenaline's awesome. Probably next level, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the beginning, obviously it becomes like driving a car, like pulling into a parking spot. Like, after you drive a car for so many times, you're like, okay, yeah, we're just driving the car.
Yeah.
But it's still, every landing is a little bit different. So it's a little more exciting.
Yeah.
Then parking a car, it's like, there's always a little bit of work to do. You're always fighting the wind. You're always dealing with like different factors.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just fun. Like you're coming in at like 150 miles an hour. You know, you got 200 people in the back and you're like, dude, it's all on me.
That's what I was thinking about was just the idea of, you know, ever getting in your head where it's like, dude, I got freaking a squad of humans that are reliant on me to take off, you know, do my job and land properly. It's just a lot of pressure. But I mean, it goes back to what we've been talking about. Like if you're putting in the reps and, you know, you've made it through all these things, that's why it's so robust of a journey for pilots to be able to be responsible for those many things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you try not to let that get to you.
Yeah.
There's people back there.
Well, it's almost like, dude, I'm sure I used to struggle a lot with panic attacks and like anxiety.
Really?
And overthinking things. And like, I couldn't stop the train of thought. Like it would just snowball.
Yeah.
And so that would be in my head a lot where I would be like, for example, because it was never this, because I haven't flown a plane.
Change that.
Yeah.
Dude, we'll do that.
I'll be his test guy. But like, I would think about, oh yeah, there's so many humans on board. Oh yeah. Like, they all have families. It just went from there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop that and just like breathe and center myself. And so that's what, I imagine, you know, there's a healthy amount of, the mindset of a pilot is elite, you know, it's in a top percent of humans. Cause you have that pressure, but you have to do your job.
Yeah. It's like, stay calm.
Mm-hmm.
I think like sports teaches that, like we talked about that too today, like that energy, that nervous energy.
Yeah.
And then just to like channel that into something positive rather than to like let it overtake you.
Yes.
Like you're just like, okay, there's people back there. Like, okay, I'm about to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Like,
so what would you do in that moment where you feel that freaking spike in adrenaline? It's on, you got the nerves, maybe something happened. Like, how do you press pause, calm yourself down and execute?
I think kind of like you said, just like breathe. Just like breathe and be like, okay, we've been here.
Yeah.
We've proven ourselves time and time again. Like, I don't really get that when I'm coming into land, unless it's like super windy. I'm like, oh shit, let's lock in.
It's on. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like super windy. And you're like, okay, I got to lock in. Like, let's set my seat up straight. Let's really lock in.
No AI here.
Yeah. Like 10 minutes. Like, let's like lock in, make sure everything is perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, same thing with like racing or wrestling back in the day. It's like always those nerves. And it's just like, okay, let's stay calm. Let's use the energy and just like remember that we've been here before. We know what to do and we know
it's good
how it's going to go.
It's good. Love it. When you fly, are you flying domestic only or are you flying international?
A little bit of both, wherever Frontier flies.
Frontier, that's right.
Yeah.
So where has been your favorite, maybe it could be both, where it's like, I was thinking about just what's your favorite culture? Like you've been around the world, you've traveled a lot.
Yeah.
Like what's your favorite culture of, you know,
man,
humans?
I would say, I mean, I haven't traveled to too many places yet. I mean, I've been to a decent amount of places, but honestly, like my favorite trip was probably Bali. I went to Bali for like a month straight out of high school or straight out of college. I mean, before I started flying. And it was just like, dude, the waves are so good. Now it's become more of like a nomad experience out there. It was like a lot of people that do like fitness content, just like live out there.
Sure.
Your dollar goes super far. And everyone's just kind of doing the digital life, like making money online, working out, staying fit and healthy, surfing, partying.
Weather's perfect, like phenomenal out there.
Beautiful weather. Like that culture and that lifestyle is pretty appealing.
Would you ever live out there?
Maybe in like a past life, you know, I was like a younger Joey,
yeah,
like that didn't like, know how the next few years, like if I was like, if I became more successful with social media at like 22, 23 and I was single, not many better places to live probably,
sure.
But you could just have a blast out there, but like 2 to 3 years, party, surf, whatever, make money, making content.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be sick, but like now you can't really do that.
Yeah.
Like especially, I mean, you got a family. I'm getting there. So it's like, maybe in a past life.
Yeah. When you're younger, it does make a lot of sense to, you know, do those more.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you surf, you stay moving. Like what are you most excited about stepping into now? Like from a training standpoint or your body, or, you know, you mentioned a couple of things in the studio, you want to prove to yourself you can, like, what are you most excited about?
Yeah. Fitness wise, like the last 3 years, I've learned, as we've talked about, is like having something new and exciting. Like it was the marathon and the ultra, now the Ironman. Next year, I want to do the last man standing. So like another ultra, then maybe an MMA fight like we were talking about. I just like picking one new, fun, exciting, scary thing to do every year. And then also just like other maturing life aspects, like you getting married, having kids, starting a family. Those are all things that I'm definitely getting closer and closer to that I haven't been ready for in the past. I'm not ready for right now, but I know I'll be more exciting, be more excited to like get into those, you know, these next couple few years.
Heck yeah. How long, I was going to ask you, BPN, how long have you been with them?
Almost 2 years now.
Like
2 years now. Solid. Probably. Yeah.
What is it about BPN? Yeah, because it's, I mean, they crush in so many ways. What is it about BPN that you think is just, it separates them from the pack?
Man, I think it's like the community that they built. Mm-hmm. Like people just believe in what Nick has started. Like, I mean, Nick started it out of like his garage, you know, like from nothing, basically.
Crazy. Yeah.
Which is
humble beginnings.
Yeah. Humble beginnings. Started mostly in like the strength and bodybuilding space, and now is like really dove into the endurance space and that go one more mentality. Like, dude, if you go to a marathon, you'll see 100 of these black hats, red hats, orange hats, go one more. They're everywhere. The movement, the mindset of just like pushing yourself one more or just further than you've ever gone before. And then even like recently, dude, they're still growing so fast because just people want to be better. You know, there's a lot of people that are getting motivated through content and even like their last man standing race that got so many eyes on it. And I just think the community that they've built, and also the way for me on my side of thing as an athlete for them, I've never been treated better from another brand in my life.
Yeah.
Like they truly create like a family atmosphere rather than a transactional, like, hey, dude, give me one reel, three stories. We give you this amount of money. It's like, okay, that's all good for business. But like they bring us out to races. They get us together. We do athlete weeks or weekends together.
Yeah.
And I think the sky's the limit for BPN. It's
heck
crazy.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy to think that they're in a sense could just be getting started.
Yeah.
With like where they're at now and what they've accomplished. I mean, Nick
Barry. I still talk to people and they're like, what's BPN?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It still is kind of niche.
Yeah.
To where it's like, if you're a hybrid athlete or you're into like endurance, you probably know what BPN is.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think they're just getting started in terms of in the world. Like,
global, you know, reach and mass
household name.
Yeah. Mass appeal. For sure. While keeping the ethos, I imagine that's going to be something that's super focused.
Yeah.
I love that too, because you mentioned the difference there with that relationship and community focus. I think that's where brands are going. That's where the world's going. Like we chatted about, it's like relationships. It's you huge. Being you and who you know is like the gold. And then it's the difference, really, what you described. I'm thinking like, dude, that's so true. It's the difference from being pushed to do something versus being like drawn. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you want to be a part of it, like if you can create a brand or a movement or a mission that draws people in, that's inspired action that feels effortless. Yeah. Like you embodying BPN feels effortless because it's just like you're drawn and you're inspired, which is really cool.
If any other brand was like, hey, we want you to do a last man standing race and run in a circle for 25 hours, I'd be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, okay, pay me a boatload.
Yes, yes, no shot.
But like they did this race and I'm immediately hitting them up. Like, I want to be a part of this next year.
Wild,
like,
man.
This is like, I want in. Like, can I be in next year?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they've created that atmosphere where I know I had massive FOMO, like watching some of the other BPN athletes run it this year and just knowing the experience that they had running a race like that together and going through the trenches. Like, they've created that atmosphere that makes you want to push your limits and see what you can do.
That fires me up. Well, last question, because how are we doing on time? Are we over an hour now?
No,
dude, that's phenomenal. It's just flown by.
Yeah, it is.
I have just a couple more, but like one of them would be with that, because obviously, you know, you're around like so many high performers, and you know, your circle. We talked about the importance of surrounding yourself with like just awesome, dope humans who are excellent and pursuing excellence. Is there anyone you look up to? Like, who do you, you know, who's really impacted you or inspired you to like become who you are?
Damn. I think I pull inspiration from everybody for different things.
Yeah.
Like for you, it could be like the fatherhood aspect.
Yeah.
And just the community you're building here. And then from Luke Hopkins, it could be the Ironman prep and mm-hmm. like how good of a swimmer he is and how he's putting the work on the bike and the running, and then straight running, it could be like a Mitch Amons. And then from Nick, it's like, okay, the company you built and how epic of a team you've built and how you treat your athletes. So I just think pulling from a bunch of different people and just taking little pieces of gold here and there is what I like to do. It's like, yeah. Damn, I really like what he's doing there or what she's doing there. And yeah.
You're just becoming the ultimate human by taking all that.
Give me all your powers. Yes,
dude. Yeah, you're your like, power. Was it Thanos or whatever? You're just freaking like collecting. Taking
stones, you know?
It's but, so good.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't think. I
pull a lot of inspiration from a lot of different people.
That's good. Sorry to cut you off. I don't think you realize how many people you inspire. And you're probably that guy for thousands and thousands of people. So, you know, not that you ask to hear it or maybe you hear it all the time, but dude, you showing up, showcasing, documenting, being you, you've got great freaking energy, positive always. Like, dude, you're impacting the world. Like,
thanks,
you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's real. And I really love giving people their flowers, you know, while they're here. Cause like, you need to hear that. Like you're a stud and you're a legend.
Yeah. I feel like you don't realize it a lot of the times because we're by ourselves a lot, right?
Yeah.
Or with like a small group of people, and like you can post or whatever, post a story and you're like, oh, so many thousand people, maybe a million people saw it,
mm-hmm.
but like, it doesn't really feel like maybe a million people see it. And then every once in a while, somebody will come and be like, dude, like you motivated me to do this. And you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
People are seeing this content. Mm-hmm. Like they're actually getting motivated by it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's good to realize that every once in a while, because like we can all get into our ruts, I think, with content too.
Yeah.
And just be like, do people care anymore? Maybe sometimes your content starts doing shitty for a while.
Yeah.
You'll have like a few months of like, dude, I'm not getting any views.
What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah. Like, this brand deals are falling off or this and that. And then every once in a while, like, you realize you actually touched somebody or actually motivated somebody, and you're like, that's why I did it. Like, this is rewarding, for the most rewarding for these reasons. Not all these other, you know, little like monetary reasons.
I freaking love that, because we've both been on that journey of like increased exposure and growth, which is beautiful. It's amazing. It opens doors. But not to say you can't have crazy big doors open at 100,000 followers or less, like 50,000. I mean, it's really just one door opens and it changes your life.
Yeah.
But I try to remind myself all the time of that truth, where it's like, it's not about the numbers, although I'm tracking it, I'm studying content, I'm trying to perfect and get good at like just the game.
Yeah.
But I also remember the truth of, dude, it's one to one. Like when I try to talk, whether it's podcasts or stories or videos, it's like, I just want to talk to one person, because that's when you're most effective. And the person consuming it, if you change that person's life, like that's freaking dope. Like you get to do that. And the hard part, I think the tricky part is, I will sometimes play it more safe because it's grown a little bit.
Yeah.
And I like won't do certain things now as much, or so I'm trying to find that balance. Yeah. Yeah. It's a balance. Like it really does. And again, you could flip it on autopilot and just say, screw it, I'm going to, or you can use it as this like just self-actualization process, this personal development process and understanding like who you are, why is it that you think this, and it's just a really fascinating area of life for me at this point, creating content.
Content is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, final question. Is, dude, especially for you, you've built such an incredible life, really. Body, mindset, and way of living. Like, my question is, if you lost all that for some reason, if you had to rebuild, Like if you had to start from scratch, I'm thinking like whether it be your business, your health, your fitness, your routines, what would you start to rebuild first? If you had to like start from scratch tomorrow, like no social media, your training, like what would you focus on to rebuild your life?
Man, first just developing a routine to get me, like picking a goal, right? So I'd be like, okay, we're starting from scratch. I want to be an airline pilot and a fitness motivator on social media. Okay, there's the goal. What's the plan that I'm going to set in place? Okay, I need to go to flight school. I need to get this rating, this rating, this rating, this rating. How am I going to do that? How much money do I need to invest? How much time do I need to invest? And then on the content side of things, what do I need to do to get to so many 100,000 followers? Like that's what I want.
Yeah.
And I want to help motivate people and reach people. I need to post once a day, once every other day. In the beginning, I was just posting once a week and it slowly grew my channel. And then just like, that's the biggest thing. And we've talked about it all day today is like, okay, pick a goal, create a plan, be consistent within that plan. And then you'll eventually get to that goal. And then once you start to get to that goal or you get to that goal, now you're creating enough value and then, you know, people see the value in you and then you get to be able to be surrounded by other valuable, good human beings. And then you get the wife of your dreams. You create the family of your dreams. You create that successful life or environment. And it just comes from those beginning stages.
Yeah, that's fire. So dude, I love the way your brain works because like have a plan, the end goal, work backwards from there.
Yeah, it's impossible to like not be successful.
Yeah, if you execute.
If you execute.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like it's almost, it's impossible. Dude, like, and I think people just talk themselves out of everything that they want to do because they think so far ahead. And I've done it.
Yeah.
You know, but like when I first told people when I was a lifeguard, I was telling people like, dude, I think I want to be a pilot.
This guy has like 17 lives. He's a lifeguard. He's a freaking, you know, you've done everything, I feel.
Yeah. But when I was a lifeguard, I would tell my buddies that I was lifeguarding with. And I'm like, dude, I think I want to be an airline pilot. Yeah. They're like, oh, dude, don't you have to be really good at math? And you have to like be really good. Like, don't you have to be really smart?
Yeah.
And I could be like, fuck yeah, I'm not really good at math. And I was never good in school.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm not going to do that. Even dude, I told my dad. I told my dad, the first time I told my dad I want to be an airline pilot, I was never good in school. I was decent. You know, I got mostly B's and C's. But he was like, don't you have to be really smart?
You're like, dad, you made me,
what bro. The fuck, dad? You know? But it's like, I think they look too far. Even like with a simpler scenario, it's just like a marathon. They're like, oh, dude. 26 miles. Yeah. I never ran a mile.
Yeah.
It's like, you could easily talk yourself out of it is the whole thing. Yeah. You just, you know, eat an elephant one bite at a time sort of deal.
I need more of that energy in my life. Like I think that's a key part of, what keeps me grounded these days is having the goal, but like working in small increments.
Yeah.
That's huge. Cause I'll get overwhelmed and psych myself out and I'm like, dang, this is not going to work. But
yeah,
you said it like a bite at a time. Have, you know, a 30 minute time block at a time and eventually stuff gets done.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing I was going to say to expand on that is like, I think if you've heard the be, do, have model, it's like most people want to have the things that you have, for example.
Yeah.
So they do the things that you've done to finally be the person that they want to become.
Yeah.
But that's backwards.
Yeah.
It's be, do, have, as opposed to have, do, be. You have to be the person who does the things to have what you want.
Yeah.
So with a plan, for example, it's like, you know, it's just asking yourself, like, I love the framework of like, what would a disciplined person do right now? I'm just going to pretend, especially for me, I didn't have discipline in a lot of areas of life after college and not having a goal.
Yeah.
I was very undisciplined, but it's like, what would a disciplined person do in this scenario? Maybe I should just do that. And then you do that enough times in the day, you do enough days in a week, you're like, I'm a disciplined person. And you're being that person who you want to become.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm obsessed with is like, that's the secret. I'm not going to wait to become this guy. I'm going to be what I want to become now. And then it's just, it inevitably naturally happens, right? Yeah.
Like everybody wants to have a six pack.
Yeah.
And if they can snap their fingers and have a six pack, I bet everybody in the world would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
do they except for that comedian who like, who's, what's his name? he's really fluffy. I feel like that's, he's like, I would not want a six pack. I'm going to be more successful.
That is true. Most people.
Yeah.
But they don't want to do the, work.
Yeah.
They all want to be, you know, and same thing for like, dude, I want to be Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a multi-billion dollars, but I'm not willing to do what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like I'm just not willing to do it. That's not, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, well, whatever. But yeah, you just gotta, do it.
Dude, I love it, bro. Last question, I promise, is the, what is the, so if you can implant, I love this question, implant a mindset or mentality into every person's mind to make them more successful, to live a more fulfilled life, to maximize their time on earth, what would that be?
So you're gonna make me say it again.
I should have known, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, the caveat though is you cannot say the C word.
Consistency. Oh, damn. Oh, man. See, I can't even find another thing to say.
I mean, that shows that.
That's it.
Mm.
That's like, I legitimately, if I had to tell anybody, other than consistency, do what you like to do. Don't waste your time on things you don't like to do. Like, I think that's huge as well. It's like, there's just too many people out there in jobs that they do not like, and then they wonder why they're not the best at it or not even good at it, to where it's paying them back as much as they would possibly want.
Yeah.
It's like, no wonder you're not getting this much return,
mm-hmm.
because you're not willing to put this much into it because you hate what you're doing.
It's not your sweet spot. It's not your, you know, it's not as aligned as it could be.
That's not what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
And like, dude, I mean, David Goggins is like, oh yeah, okay, David Goggins, who's going to carry the boats?
Yeah.
But it's like, he was a pest control guy.
Was he?
You know, that's what he was. And like, he hated it. And mm-hmm. he always talks about like, if I was going to, you know, the day that I died, I'd go and I'd see God and he'd show me this whole list of like, whatever, multiple time ultra runner, business owner, whatever, Navy SEAL, this and that. And he's like, who's this guy? He's like, that's who you were supposed to be.
Wow.
And it's like, oh man, like I guarantee if you're not happy in your job and you're not getting out of it or the return that you wish you possibly want in life, it's because you're doing the wrong thing. Like you were meant to do something else, but you were just not willing to take the risk on trying that thing that you actually liked. Because I guarantee you like something. Everybody's got a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do you turn that hobby into a career?
Yeah.
And if you really like something and you're willing to do it for free and then you turn it into a job, I guarantee it's going to probably pay you more or be more rewarding than the thing that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, that's why I'm like so grateful to be able to do stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, we used to work out for free, bro.
Yeah.
And I still would. I 100%. Would still work out for free.
100%.
Maybe I wouldn't run as many marathons as I'm running now for free, but.
I have a feeling you would.
Yeah.
Because you're psycho.
Maybe, but it's like, now it's like,
yeah.
Now we're even more fired up to do this stuff because we've turned it into a career and it 100%. Fires us up. So.
Yeah.
I know, it was a super long-winded answer.
So good. That's the one mentality right there, the paragraph that was, but it was beautiful. And I think that's amazing. So if you're in a job that you hate or it sucks, I think the message there too is like, put in your time and like, you know, do what you got to do, but like, don't shy away from spending more focused time and energy on creating the life you want to live.
Yeah.
Don't waste the weekends. Don't waste the 5 to 9 PM. Go do something that's going to build a better future.
Exactly.
As opposed to like numbing yourself, distracting yourself and settling, because that will eat you up.
Yeah. And easier said than done.
For sure.
Way easier said than done. Sure. Nothing about it is going to be easy. And you're going to put in a lot of hours and make zero money.
Yeah.
And we all started from nothing. We all started from zero followers and we're getting maybe free stuff in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, this is awesome. You have a freaking free watch. Like this is sick.
Yeah.
You know, but then it slowly adds up. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Yeah. 100%. Ask God for that strength, step into your potential. And, I'm a big believer. Don't settle. We're made for more. Yeah. Like, that's the overarching idea of this podcast and what I want to be about. I believe that if people only knew their true potential, if they realized it just a little bit more, they wake up and be stoked. They'd be like, I'm in a job potentially I hate, but dude, I know what I can potentially become. I know what I can achieve. I know what I can experience as a human. So growing in the awareness of who you are, what you're made for, is powerful.
What is the name of the podcast?
Live Elevated with Brian Pruitt.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, Live Elevated.
Okay, I like that.
I believe we're made for a lot more than we settle for.
Yeah. So. What does pathos mean?
It means essentially, I'm going to take Josh's voice here, but it's, you know, pathos is associated mostly like the passion of the Christ. So passion of Christ, like his suffering, you know, going to the cross. I think that's the Greek terminology, like logos, pathos, ethos. So it's most typically associated with suffering. But what Josh, this is Josh's idea of pathos, because that was our old studio, now it's our community, and here in Sarasota. Pathos is like, it's like what you would do because you love it so much that it doesn't matter if it's painful or whatever.
Yeah.
So pathos is like experience passion, experience like what it means to be alive and to maybe challenge yourself and connect with other people and take a risk and be uncomfortable. Like,
yeah.
So it's a really great word. I think that embodies it well.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. It's cool. Dude, we could talk all day, baby, but we got to freaking get you back to St. Pete. This guy's got a whole workout to do.
I'm back on call, dude. I'm back on call.
He's looking fresh, and I'm like about to go take a nap before the kids wake up, and this guy's like, yeah, I'm not even warmed up. So
you have to go do a family thing. I got to go just go sit on my bike for an hour. I'll be all right.
That was incredible, bro. Loved every minute, man.
Dude, thank you.
Let's do it quick.